Today we want to think on the subject of accepting forgiveness. Living in a family unit takes a lot of love, grace, patience, and wisdom. We all have an old nature which is sinful. Far too many times we wrong one another. Sometimes we hurt each other deeply, and the biggest problem is that we don't always admit it and face up to it. When we wrong someone and recognize it, there are a number of things we need to do. First of all, we need to confess it to God. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing is confess it to God. And then secondly, we need to seek the forgiveness of the person that we have wronged. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 says, Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. In other words, we need to take care of what we've done. We need to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And thirdly, we need to accept God's forgiveness. Many Christians find that forgiving themselves is one of the most difficult hurdles in life. Many believers at various levels of maturity have struggled with this. Not just the weak Christian or the immature, but even stronger Christians. Christians believe in a loving Heavenly Father, and most of us have read most of the scripture verses that clearly teach His forgiveness. And yet some of us just cannot seem to put the painful memories behind us and jump back into life of that which we have done. Whether the act that we did was one of blatant sin, or an honest mistake, or an oversight, someone was hurt. Individuals were wrong, and trust was broken, and it was our fault. We've been hurt and humbled and humiliated. We've claimed all the verses, prayed all the prayers, and even apologized or made restitution. And yet, every time the memory returns, so do the feelings of sorrow, grief, and loss and guilt. The painful feelings linger and even begin to haunt us sometimes. We judge and condemn and sentence ourselves because of what we did. The Bible says much about grace and mercy and forgiveness. Remember the verse we read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How can we appropriate the reality of God's forgiveness? How can we move from being forgiven to feeling forgiven? How can we break the pattern of self-condemnation? Well, first step is to realize that when we experience condemnation over sin we've performed and confessed, it isn't God who is condemning us. He isn't bringing those things to our remembrance. The evil one is. Satan knows that when we allow our minds to wander in the wilderness of past sins and failures, two things happen. When we take our eyes off Christ and His completed work for us on the cross, we begin to lose perspective. And the more we lose perspective, the more likely we are to become drained and defeated and discouraged. Our spirit becomes weakened and we're more vulnerable to spiritual, emotional, and physical problems. The consequences of not taking God at His word can be high. They include loss of confidence and joy, lack of victory and peace, and feelings of defeat and discouragement and depression. An American psychiatrist said, "If I could convince the patients in my psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day." The second step is to see the act of self-condemnation from a new perspective. When we choose to condemn ourselves for something we've confessed and been forgiven of, we're really saying one of two things. We're saying either that we are capable of committing a sin that Christ's blood is not powerful enough to cover, or that His work on the cross was not sufficient to pay for our sin. We think, in effect, we need to add to His work the perpetual penance of shame and guilt and misery. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than Him." Christians don't believe they are capable of committing a sin greater than God's capacity to forgive. Christians don't believe that Christ's work on the cross was only partially effective. But many Christians act as if these absurdities are true. I identify self-condemnation for what it really is. And then thirdly, is to take our eyes off ourselves and put past mistakes and our past mistakes, and to ask the Holy Spirit to help us focus on Christ and the promises of His Word. Philippians chapter 3, the last part of verse 13 and 14 says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There's a principle that's very important for us to remember. It's impossible to look back and forward at the same time. No matter how hard we try, we just can't do it. We can choose to wallow in the muck and mire of the past, or we can choose to focus on God's promises for our present and future. We cannot be tortured by memories we choose to dwell on. Notice a few verses in Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It's very, very important that we remember that. And then Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with him from off, with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, this doesn't mean that God puts a burning live coal on our lips, but it means that's a picture of Christ, that when we confess our sin, he forgives our sin, we're cleansed from it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, Matthew 1, 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now notice, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we read, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And then again, remember the verse that we read at the beginning, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, notice, from all iniquity or unrighteousness. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate or a go-between with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. For he is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We can memorize these verses or write them on cards and then bring them to remembrance whenever we experience an attack by Satan. However, it's important we remember that when we confess our sin, God has forgiven it, regardless of what it is. And then step 4, and this is very critical. It isn't enough to read a few verses quickly. As we read them, we need to thank God for each of these truths, one by one. Remember that God can forgive and he forgets. We can forgive, but it's harder for us to forget. When should we? We should thank him that as far as he is concerned, our sin is not only forgiven, but it's also forgotten. My daughter Becky, one time years ago, was preparing her camp lessons because she was going to teach junior girls, and she had everything that she wanted to teach typed into the memory on her typewriter. And then her oldest son, Josh, pulled the electric plug-in out, and she lost everything that she had typed in. It was all gone forever from the typewriter. And that's what happened. That's what happens to our sins when God forgives us. Some of the pain and sorrow may remain. Some of the consequences may remain, but the guilt, the legal condemnation for the offense is gone. Our Lord is in the cleansing business, not the whitewashing business. Thank God that what Satan designed to distract, discourage, and defeat us has now been turned into an opportunity for praise and thanksgiving. It has become a reminder of God's love, His goodness, and His faithfulness. Satan tries to use memories to rob us of our joy, but because God's word is true, these same memories can remind us of the victory we have in Christ and actually increase our joy. We don't have to go through life punishing ourselves for sins or wrongs we've confessed. We can stand on the reality of God's forgiveness. The story is told years and years ago. There was an Indian village out on the prairie, and here they noticed in the distance there was a prairie fire, and it was headed toward them in their direction. And so the Indians quickly set fire to the grass around their settlement, and the fire burned out. And the thought was this: when the prairie fire reached there, the fire could not burn toward the village where fire had already burned. There was nothing that the prairie fire could burn in coming into the village. And so it is with those who've been forgiven. We are standing where, so to speak, the flames have already been, and we are safe. Christ is sufficient. When we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, notice, from all unrighteousness. And we don't have to beat ourselves up and live in remorse over what we've done. We need to thank God for His forgiveness and not dwell upon it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the wonderful promise that when we wrong someone or sin against you, we can confess it, and you are faithful and just to forgive us all of our sin. And Father, I pray that when something like that happens and we've confessed it, we would not dwell upon it and beat ourselves up, so to speak, because of what we had done. But I pray we would accept your forgiveness and rejoice in the fact that our sin has been forgiven. And I pray that we might always experience the peace and joy that comes from sin, that is, from confessed sin, that you have forgiven it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.